All right, well, today being the 12th of April, 2026, we want to go into our continued section on this lesson number 10, preparation for departure. Now, we've broken this lesson series down into two parts, and this is the part one. And my question to you, again, as we looked at it from last week, was what motivates you to do what you do for Christ? What motivates me to do what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ? What motivates us to do what we do? You know what? Our love for the Lord has to be the motivator. Amen? Our remembrance of what He has done for us. And we looked at this partially last week. Those of you just now coming in, don't forget, you got donuts back there, okay? All right? You're good? All right. Well, he's not. He needs one, all right? All right. He needs to be made sweet, all right? Yeah, you can get you two. Yeah, okay, all right. But I want us to look at this lesson today. Now, we started last Sunday in John chapter 13. We were looking at this, and we looked at the demonstration of servanthood that John described about Jesus last week. How that Jesus became the servant for mankind, and He demonstrated that, and He demonstrated His love for His disciples. We saw the symbol of the sovereign becoming a servant last Sunday, in verses 5 through 11. We saw the significance of it there in verses 12 through 17. And then we saw the disclosure of His betrayal last week. We saw that, how He told that He was going to be, as prophesied in the Word of God, and as He had told them, that He would be betrayed by those around Him. And now in John chapter 13, verses 31 on into the next chapter, we saw Jesus' discourse. We looked at this about how that now the Son of Man would be glorified by going to the cross, and God would be glorified in Him. God would be glorified in Him. And we got down to the part last week about the new commandment in John chapter 13, verse 35. And we saw the reason for that new commandment. What was the new commandment? Look at it with me in John chapter 13, verse number 34. Let's look at it. A new command I give unto you, Jesus said, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. That was the command that Jesus gave to His disciples. And you know what? There are times it's hard to love somebody that's not always lovable. You know that? Sometimes it's not easy always to love folks. But it is our duty to love them in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Christ loved us, so we're to love others. And we're to show that love. And the reason is seen here in verse number 35. And look what Jesus said. By this what? By this godly love. By this shall all men know that ye are My disciples, if ye have love one to another. As Jesus had loved them, so they were to love others. And let me ask you today, why do you or why don't you love others the way that you ought to? You know what? It's easy for us sometimes in the human form, human flesh, to be critical, isn't it? It's hard for us to love when somebody doesn't love us back, okay? That's difficult sometimes, is it not? But you know what? Jesus loved these folks. He loved these Pharisees. He loved those scribes. He loved those Sadducees that didn't care for Him. All they wanted to do was criticize and find fault and accuse Him every moment of His life. And yet the Bible says He loved them all. He loved them to the end. He loved His disciples to the end. And in John chapter 13, verse 36, He writes these words. Simon Peter said to Him, Lord, whither goest Thou? You know, Jesus had said there in verse 33 that He was leaving them. He said, ye shall seek Me. As I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you. So Peter is listening to what Jesus is saying. He's hearing the reason that Jesus is giving that they ought to love one another. But his main question is still, Lord, where are you going? Where are you going? Lord, whither goest thou? They just could not understand what was happening. And that same verse, John wrote this. He said, Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, he went to the cross to shed his blood. He would then go and take that blood to heaven, and there would be applied to the mercy seat for you and for me. That blood was shed for you and for me. We could not get to heaven, not by our good works. It's not by good looks. It's not by good deeds. It's not by good fortune. It's not by any of these things. But it's according to his mercy that he saved us. And you know, this would be the only way possible for us to one day come into the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why? Why? You know what? That's one of those questions that our children always ask us. Why? But why, Daddy? Why can't I do this? And we'd tell him, but why? But why? And I thought to myself so many times, if I hear that word why again, I'm going to just climb a tree somewhere and jump off or something. What does Peter do? Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I'll lay down my life for thy sake. Boy, does that not sound like some of us sometimes? Lord, I'm going to do this for you, Lord, but I want this now. I want to know this now. You know, I want patience, but I want it now, okay? And you know what works patience, don't you? Tribulation worketh patience. Yeah. So I've stopped praying for patience. Anybody ask me, say, Brother Ray, how you doing today? I'm saved by grace, amen? Saved by grace. Peter said, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I'll lay down my life for thy sake. He was boasting about his willingness to do something for Jesus that he could later prove that he could not do. And Jesus knew it already. He knew what he was going to do. He knew what he was not going to do. In verse 38, Jesus answered him and said, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? And I can just picture Jesus just kind of shaking his head and saying, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Till thou hast denied me three times. And boy, I bet that shocked Peter. I bet his heart was just broken. And it must have emotionally, it must have just shaken him to the very core to think that Jesus would say, Peter, nah, you won't stand for me. You won't lay down your life for me. You're going to deny me. Three times, Peter, you're going to deny me before the cock crows. You're going to deny me. The book of Mark, chapter 14, verse 31, tells us this. After Jesus told him that that Peter would deny him, the Bible said in Mark 14, 31, he said, But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. They all said, I'll not deny you. And you know what? I have seen folks. I know folks right now. They said, boy, I'll never deny the Lord. I'll never quit serving God. I'll never do this. And today they're not doing anything for God. They're not doing anything. They got caught up in the moment. They got caught up in self and what we think that we can do. But folks, let me tell you something. Without the power of God within us, we're going to fail him. We're going to fail him. We don't need to boast and be prideful. We need to just trust him and obey him in all that we do. And in their heart, they really did. I feel like they really wanted to stand with Jesus, but they did not know what was coming their way. And folks, you and I don't know what's coming our way either. We don't have a clue. We think we do. We think we know, but we don't know. And so you know what? We have to determine that no matter what happens, we're going to trust God. We're going to depend on Him to give us the strength we need to have that we don't have in self, but that we can find in Him to be found faithful, to stand true, even when it seems like there's no way possible that we can. We need to trust Him. Now, with all that said, we come to the 14th chapter of the book of John. And when Jesus had told them all these things that was going to happen, I'm sure He saw the troubledness in their hearts and their faces, their eyes that night, as He described how that they would turn their backs on Him and they would turn away from Him and they would all scatter. This was prophesied in the Scriptures. And we know that all the Scriptures came to pass just as they were written and just as Jesus said. But here in this chapter, we see the comfort that only the Lord Jesus can give at a time like this. Folks, there are times, and I appreciate folks telling me they're praying for me. I know you appreciate when folks tell you they're praying for you. But there comes a time when words don't mean a lot, and I don't mean that badly. Don't take it wrong. But you need comfort from God and from His Word that everything's going to be all right. You need to know that God said, I've got a plan, I've got a purpose, and I'll see you through. And you know what? That's what Jesus was doing here in John chapter 14. Look at this with me this morning. We see the comfort for the disciples that Jesus gave them. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, He looked at them. And I imagine He may have walked up to them. I just imagine this in my mind. He saw their downheartedness. He saw their broken hearts, their discouragement at what He had just told them. And I imagine He went over to them and just took them on the shoulder and said, but let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. For in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know. And the way, you know. Now you think about this just a moment. When He told them this, He told them this, but they really did not understand what He was trying to tell them. They did not understand that He was going to prepare a place for them. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know what? He was going to prepare for them the means for them to go to heaven. And if you look at this, He wanted them to understand that the remedy for their confused minds and their troubled hearts was to simply believe the words of God the Father that Jesus had been speaking unto them. You know, God's Word is comfort, folks. I don't know how many times I'll sit down and I'll read through a passage I've read many times, and yet at the moment I need it most, God gives comfort and He gives strength. He gives comfort and He lets me know, listen, you're not by yourself. You're not going through this alone. You're not, listen, I'm here with you. I'll be with you all the way. That's His promise. He's promised that. And look what Jesus told them. He told them about the reality of heaven. I've had folks so discouraged about the heartaches and the trials they're going through. And they'll look at me and say, do you really think that heaven is real? Do you think that heaven is real? Yeah, I really believe it's real. How do you know, preacher, it's real? Because Jesus said it's real. And you know what? If it wasn't real, the devil wouldn't be fighting you so hard to make you think that it's not real. The devil wants you to think that this is the best that there is in this life. Now listen, God has blessed us with life on this earth. But this life is a preparing ground for eternity. It prepares us. God teaches us how to live for Him, how to trust Him, how to obey Him, and how to prepare others to be able to go to that place we call heaven. Heaven is real today, folks. Jesus said it here, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, somebody asked me one day, they said, preacher, would you like to live in a mansion? I said, man, too many rooms to clean. Down here on this earth, buddy, too many rooms to clean. I'm satisfied with what God has given unto me right now, amen? I'm just tickled to death with that. I'm glad I don't have any more to clean. I knew that was going to happen, all right? But you listen to me today. God is preparing a place beyond compare. Something that we could never imagine. So that when we get to be there with Him, man, it's going to be like nothing we've ever seen on this earth. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Many mansions. And you know what? I don't believe that we're going to get to a point when God says, whoops, no more, no more. We don't have any more room. No vacancy. No more room here. No. There's plenty of room for whosoever will come unto Him. And you know what else He said to him? He told him about the validity of His words. The fact that He was speaking truth. Look what He said. If it were not so, I would have told you. You know what? Jesus is not going to tell us one thing and then do something else. That's why I know that when God, the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have what kind of life? Everlasting life. I'm so saved, the devil can't stand it. He can never unsave me. He can never unbirth me out of the family of God. I am His forever. And you know what? The validity of the fact that what Jesus was telling them ought to have encouraged their hearts. And it ought to encourage your heart and my heart today to know that, listen, what Jesus is telling me is true. He's worthy of our trust today. And then Jesus told them of the preparations that He was making for them. This summer, while Sophia is gone, we're going to be fixing up some things in her room and her bathroom and fixing it up a little differently and things like that. And man, you know, she'd be excited about stuff like that. You know, she's a little girl, and the guys, they didn't care, man. They got to the point, man, they stayed in the shower all morning and kept the lights on all the time. That's why I put those little monitors in there, the little things that they go in, they walk in the bathroom, the light comes on, and I set the timer for 10 minutes. 10 minutes. So that when they're in the shower for 30 minutes, okay, at the 11th minute, they have to get out of the shower to go walk over and turn the light back on, all right? It cut down my water bill, everything, cuts down all that stuff. You know, she's not necessarily like that, but the guys were like that. Good night. They're just crazy. But you know what? I get excited about trying to fix up stuff. I fixed some stuff in the kitchen yesterday and the faucets and stuff like that for my wife and fixed it so it didn't leak here and didn't do this and didn't do that. And man, she was excited because we're doing stuff. I saw her in there with a little swisher thing or a squasher, whatever that thing is. Swiffer, whatever. And she's in there and she's going to go in there and wipe the top of the fan blades off and stuff like that. And preparing things, you know, getting things ready for the spring. Now it's getting, you can open up the windows and let things get aired out a little bit and fix up the carpet and clean it up a little bit more. And winter months are over. You can prepare things, you know, so you don't feel bad when folks come in and see how dirty everything is, all right? And you know what? You get excited about preparing things. And Jesus said, guys, I'm going to prepare something for you that you could never imagine. It's going to boggle your brains when you get to heaven. It's going to be so great, you're going to have a new body when you get there to be able to stand it all. Amen? It's going to be wonderful. I go to prepare a place for you. And then he gave them this. He said, I want you to know about these promises I've got. Look what he said. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. You know what? He's coming back, folks. He's not just going to leave us here. He's coming back to get us. Why? Because he loves us. Because we are his children. When Lisa delivered our two children, we went back to get them. Okay? I went back to get them. After a couple days, she had to be in the hospital for a little while. Babies had to stay there at the hospital for a little while. We had prepared a place for them. I took the study that I had, okay? And we turned it into a baby room. We put up little baby pictures all around the room, and we put a little baby bed. The baby bed that I had when I was born, okay? We used that, okay? Now, you can't do that now because the slats are too far apart or something like that now. But then we put up this little bumper thing around it. And we made the mattress. I was working at the blind shop then, Industries for the Blind in Winston-Salem. And we made the mattress for it. We made the little blank, the little baby mattress for it and everything. And we fixed it all up and, you know, just had everything fixed up so it was prepared. And then you know what? When that baby was born into my family, I didn't just leave it there. I went back to get it. And that was a big day. I never will forget. First day we came back, Lisa's inside. She's kind of stretched out on the sofa, relaxing a little bit. I put Heather down inside. She was born in May. It was still a little cool. And I put this big yellow blanket down inside her stroller. You could hardly see anything but her little nose. And I took her walking all the way up and down, a little trailer park where we lived. Took her walking all the way up and down that little roadside, waiting for somebody to drive in so I could show them our new baby, amen. I loved her. Oh, she got a little older, and I'd put her up on my shoulders, and I'd just walk up and down, and she'd hold on to my ears and all kinds of stuff. That's where I found out where cottage cheese came from. I bounced her too much, and it landed in my hair. Oh, I've never liked cottage cheese since then. Never liked it. But you know what my desire was? It was to show her off to everybody. And can you imagine when we get to heaven, he comes back to get us. And man, we're there in heaven with him. And the angels are looking over and they're saying, that's what he died for? And Jesus says, yes, this is my bride. He's excited. And the Bible said he gave them a promise that if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come again. And look what else he said. He said, and I will receive you unto myself. Man, where I'm at, you're going to be there too. You know what? Man, that's something to think about. But if that wouldn't lift your heart, I don't know what would. And look what he said. That where I am, there ye may be also. Now think about this. Jesus is standing there telling them what's going to happen. They're getting ready to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's saying that where I am, there ye may be also. Where I am. Do you not get what he's saying? He's there with them, but he's also there in heaven. How can God be in two places at one time? We got a big God, folks. Amen. He is almighty. He is with you. He's with me. And his spirit dwells within my heart, just like he dwells in your heart. Just like he dwells, Johnny Lim, I was texting back with him this morning. And he had a need. He was asking us to pray for him. They're having a special daily vacation Bible school right now. They're in the Philippines. I told him we'd be praying for him. And we support them each month. We try to send a little extra every month to try to encourage them and help them with the ministry there. And I thought, you know what? The same God that was giving me strength and comfort this morning here in the United States is the same God that's over there with them in the Philippines on the other side of the world. It's already Monday over there, folks. It's already Monday. And you know what? God's there with them. And Jesus is saying this, you'll never be without me. Basically, it's what he's saying, that where I am, there ye may be also. We're going to be together forever. Man, that's exciting to think about. Jesus wanted them to know that they could trust him. They could depend upon him. If they would just simply believe his words he had already spoken. And he said in verse 4, he said, and whither I go, in other words, the place I'm going, ye know. And the way you know. And even though he told them that, they still had some difficulties in grasping all that Jesus was trying to tell them. You know what? We do too sometimes, don't we? Don't we have some trouble grasping these things? Yeah, we do. And old Thomas speaks up in verse number 5. Look what he said. He said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Lord, I don't know where you're going. I don't know what's happening here today. And Lord, how can we know the way? Look at what Jesus told them in verse 6. I imagine he looked up at him and he said, Thomas, puts his hand on Thomas' shoulder, looks him eyeball to eyeball, and said, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. Amen. Look at that. First of all, he tells him, I'm the way. Folks, there is no other way to heaven but by Jesus. It's not my good works. It's not anything else I could do. I've tried, and all I can do is fail. I'm just like Peter. I'm just like the other disciples. I am made of flesh and bones, just like you. And we fail. And but if it depended on me to be good enough to go to heaven, I'd never get to go. I'll never get to go to heaven like that. But because Jesus is the way, I have the way. I have the means provided to me to get to heaven. And then look what else he said. Secondly, he said, not only am I the way, but I am the truth. The truth, meaning that he accurately revealed God the Father in and the will of God the Father in all that he said and did. Now you think about this just a minute. He told them, first of all, I'm the way. And Paul wrote to Timothy back in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. He said that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Honey, it's not the Pope. It's not Buddha. It's not Confucius. It's not Muhammad. It's not Pastor Belcher. It's not Church of the Open Door. It's not any other means. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. He is the way. Then he said, not only am I the way, I am the truth. And I want you to know here that Jesus himself says that he is the truth. Not a truth, not some truth, but the truth. This is what the world today despises. We're seeing it in our political world. We're seeing it in our social world around us. People do not want truth. They hate truth. They hate Christ. But thirdly, look at this. Jesus said to Thomas, he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life. Because eternal life was in him and in Him alone. There is no other way to have eternal life, folks, except through Christ Jesus. And this is why Jesus could say, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the reason. So then Philip speaks up again in verse number 8. Look at it. And he says, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll suffice us. It sufficeth us, Lord. It'll satisfy us. Just show us the Father. And Jesus answers Philip in verses 9 through 11. Look at this. Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. These disciples were going to have to learn to trust and to believe that Jesus and the Father were indeed one in the same. He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And in verses 12 through 14, Jesus tells them here of the blessings that would flow from God when they chose to believe Him. When they would choose to believe Him, the blessings would flow. And He also reminded them here that God would not only hear, but God would also answer their prayers if they would but believe when they asked. Folks, you know what? To know that God will take care of our needs, to know that God hears us, I am but one out of some 8 billion people in this earth today. And yet the God of heaven hears my little old prayer. He hears your little old prayer. He knows your little old needs. Man, what a God we serve today. And He wanted them to see that. So now in verses 15 through 24, I got to hurry. Jesus makes some comments about loving Him. And look at verse 15 today, what He says. He said, guys, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is one of the verses my wife uses on me all the time. If you love me, keep my commandments, all right? Do what I say do. I try to let her know that I love her, amen? Run, Lee, she's got a stick. She's behind you. Jesus said, guys, if you love me, keep my commandments. How do we show the Lord we love Him today? By doing what He says do. You know what? We would tell our children, listen, honey, I know you don't understand why I've told you you can't play with this little kid, or you can't go over here, you can't do this, can't do that. But if you love me, just do what I say. Trust Daddy. Trust Daddy. Daddy knows what He's doing. And later on, they'd come back and say, Daddy, you were right. And you know, the first thing is you want to cock out your chest and say, yeah, I knew that. I knew that. But the thing that really enthused my heart was the fact that they realized that they could trust me. And you know what? There are times that God has to send us around the Mayberry bush, you know, and let us go through some troubling times, so that we can learn to trust Him. But folks, if we will learn to trust Him, we'll know that we can follow Him and we can obey Him. Listen, if we love Him, we'll keep His commandments. Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And you know why many folks aren't fishing for men today? Because they're not following the Lord. And if we're not following Him, we're not showing Him that we love Him. And folks, we need to love the Lord. Listen, everywhere we go, we are a testimony of what Christ can do for old lost sinners. When folks look at us and they say, man, they got it so good. Listen, it wasn't always that way. It's all because of Jesus. We bear His testimony. Peter wrote this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. He said, but as He which hath called you is holy, So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And that word conversation is not just speaking, it's your manner of living. The way that you live, the way that you walk, you talk, the things that you do and say. We're to be holy even as he was holy. Jesus encouraged his disciples here in verses 16 through 18 that even though he had to go away, he was not going to leave them alone. Now think about that. He was not going to leave them without hope. He was not going to leave them by themselves to fight the battle. He was not going to leave them without truth and light. He was not going to leave them comfortless. Look at verse 16. Look at what he said. He said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." That word, another, means just like this one. Jesus said, just like you've had me with you all this time, when I leave here, the Father is going to send you another comforter that's going to be with you. He's going to be there to help you, and he'll abide with you forever. Think about it, folks. The Spirit of God that dwells in us, he will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? What a blessing it is to know that today. Then in John chapter 14, verse 21, he told them again, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." So here we find another great truth and something to consider in our own lives each and every day. You think about this. He that hath my commandments. We've got the Word of God right here, folks. We've got the Word. And he says, and keepeth them. We've got to obey them. Listen, you can't serve God 2 days of the week and live for the devil the rest of the week and expect God to bless. That's called disobedience. You know what? I've got a very loving wife, and I'm thankful for that. But you know what? If I were faithful to her 6 days a week and only unfaithful to her 1 day every week, she would be upset with me. She would be upset. You know what she wants? She wants me to love her every day of the week. I want her to love me every day of the week. I don't want to come up on Thursday, man, when everything's a busy day, and she said, "Well, I don't love you enough today to fix breakfast or do this or do that, and you can just fend for yourself today." What? That wouldn't work. That's not going to work. Man, I want her to love me every day. I want to love her every day. God wants us to love him every day. Amen? So we've got his commandments. All we have to do is choose to keep them. And why do we choose to keep them? Look at this. Because he it is that doeth these things. He it is that loveth me. We do it because we love him. We do it because we love him. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So now the question is, where do I stand personally with God today? Where do I stand with God? Where do you stand with God? Do you love him enough to serve him? Do you love him enough to stay in the book and let the book stay in you? Do you love him enough to keep his commandments? Look what he said in verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me and will keep and he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." And look what he told him in verse 24. "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." So let me ask this question. What do you think Jesus would think about my obedience or your obedience? If we only did it out of a sense of duty, or obligation. I've heard people tell me, well, it's my duty to read the Word of God. You can shirk your duties. You can shirk responsibilities. But love is going to cause you to do it every day. And we do what we do because we love the Lord enough to do it. I love the fellowship. Man, I love the fellowship with folks. I love the fellowship I have with the Lord Jesus. And let's see the comments that Jesus left them in verses 25 through 31. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." You see, that's the job of the Holy Spirit of God. He's going to teach us all things. When we're out soul winning, I stand up to tell somebody about Jesus and my brain sits down. The Holy Spirit of God is the one that brings those verses to my remembrance. He's promised to do that in His Word. And look what He said in verse 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth you, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Go on and read the next verse. "Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto my Father, and my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence." He said, because God gave me a job to do, and because I love you and the Father loves you, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to prepare a way for you to be with me in heaven. What a Savior. And you know what? Next week when we come back, we're going to start part two on this, preparation for departure. And I'm going to show you what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. Let's pray. Father, I love you today. Lord, help me, Lord, to show you that I love you, not just in word, but also in deed, in all that I do. Lord, help me, God, to show you that I love you, and I'm appreciative, God, for what you've done for me. Help us, Lord, as we prepare one day to leave this old world, to be able to stand before you and hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." God, help us to be found faithful. Bless our pastor now as he stands to preach, and we'll thank you, God, for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. 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 Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.